I'll be presenting results on a study looking at the association between ethnic identity, education, and diabetes in adult Latinos. I'd like to thank Brianna Mezick and Kristen Kelly on their contribution to this study. We have no conflict of interest to disclose. And I'm going to start with just a little background on the prevalence of diabetes in the Hispanic Latino population, which I'm sure a lot of you know already. So type 2 diabetes substantially affects the Latino population. If you look at the bar graph on the left of the screen, you'll see that Hispanic Latinos face twice the risk of diabetes compared to non-Hispanic whites. If you look at the bar graph on the right, this is data from the Hispanic Community Health Study, which shows that there's variation in the prevalence of diabetes among Latino subgroups, reaching up to 18%. So in order to understand disparities in the Hispanic-Latino population, there's substantial research that looks at cultural aspects or contributors or influences to the risk of diabetes. And one of the things that's been researched substantially is acculturation. So acculturation is a process by which immigrants adopt the attitudes, values, customs, beliefs, and behaviors of a new culture. And within public health literature, we see that acculturation within Hispanic-Latino population is associated with, so greater acculturation is associated with increased risk for diabetes. Length of time in the U.S. is associated with an increased risk as well. And Latinos and Hispanics of third and second generations also are at higher risk for diabetes. One of the limitations of acculturation measures is often in public health, we use unidimensional measures or proxies for acculturation. We look at time in the U.S., we look at language and generation status. And acculturation is a little more complex than that. It's a process, and a lot of times it's very contextually based. So in order to account for culture, we wanted to look at more a core component of acculturation in culture, and we wanted to look at ethnic identity. So ethnic identity is the degree to which individuals perceive themselves to be included and aligned with an ethnic group. And the research in ethnic identity is primarily done in psychology. And there's two psychological components to ethnic identity, which is more of an internal concept. It's the sense of belonging to an ethnic group and commitment to that group. And it's an internal structure involving cognitive and psychological coping resources. So, in the psychological literature, we see that ethnic identity is protective of mental illnesses. There's two competing hypotheses when we look at ethnic identity. There's the buffering hypothesis and the exacerbating hypothesis. The buffering hypothesis is the idea that ethnic identity acts as a mechanism that protects against and buffers against the negative effects of discrimination or differentiation. The exacerbating hypothesis, is the idea that a strong ethnic identity may actually exacerbate the negative effects of discrimination or differentiation. So given these two theories, we wanted to take the buffering hypothesis, and we think that there's some components that actually contribute to the Latino health advantage. Since there's a protective mechanism of ethnic identity when we look at mental health outcomes, it's important to also look at it in physical health outcomes, which hasn't been done before. So the Hispanic health paradox is the idea that Hispanic immigrants arrive with a health advantage despite an adverse social and economic profile, lower income, lower education levels, which we think we would suspect that that would increase the risk, but within the Hispanic Latino population is actually shows that those folks have lower risk for physical health outcomes. So with that said, the objective of our study was to really transfer what we know in the psychological literature to what we are now facing in physical health outcomes. So we wanted to understand the association between ethnic identification, education, and diabetes status. And we hypothesized a buffering effect where ethnic identification is associated with a lower likelihood of diabetes, and the protective effect of ethnic identification will decline as education increases, just to model the health Hispanic health paradox. So in order to answer our question, we used data from the National Latino and Asian American Study. Our sample size consisted of 2,398 Latinos aged 30 years and over. The sample consisted of individuals of Mexican, Central, South American, Puerto Rican, and Cuban backgrounds. Mean age was set at 47 years, 51% female, 70% were married, 61% have an annual household income under 45,000, 43% have fewer than 12 years of education, and 26 completed 12 years of education. So our main variables of interest are ethnic identification, And in NLUS, there are four items that assess ethnic identification. And those items look at how closely one identifies with others of the same ethnic group, how closely they feel with others of the same ethnic group, how much time they would like to spend with other folks from the same ethnic group, and how important they feel it is to marry within that group. And it's assessed using the four-point Likert scale. Our second independent variable is education. So this is the years of education measured as a continuous variable in this analysis. Our dependent variables, diabetes status, in NLUS, unfortunately, it is a self-report, so we are working with that on a yes-no. And in our sample, 12% reported that they had diabetes, or had been told that they had diabetes by a medical provider. Our sociodemographic covariates include age, gender, income, mental health status, ethnic ancestry, and nativity. And for analysis, we use weighted logistic regression to account for the complex study design that NLUS has. So our results, consistent with other national studies, we see that the prevalence of diabetes increases with age. And in this bar graph, you'll see a distribution that's bimodal. You'll see we have the distribution of ethnic identification by education. So you'll see that Latinos or Hispanics who have 12 years of education or 16 or years or more of education have lower mean ethnic identification scores than those with 0 to 11 years versus those with 13 to 15 years of education. This graphic is going to be a little important later on in the results section, so I'll get back to it. So the results of our weighted logistic regression of ethnic identification, education, and diabetes status among Latinos show our crude odds ratio for looking at the association between ethnic identification and diabetes shows that there is a direction towards a protectiveness, but it wasn't significant. And so when we looked at education alone, we saw that education was associated with a lower odds of diabetes, and that was significant. However, when we adjusted for ethnic identification, we see that education, the association between education and the risk for diabetes, becomes non-significant. So because we do see significance in the crude odds ratios, we looked at an interaction effect. And so our full model with the interaction, we see that the interaction is not significant. So this leads to, it's consistent with the buffering hypothesis where we look at ethnic identification is associated with a lower odds of having diabetes. And that's consistent with psychological literature also, so it suggests that a buffering hypothesis. However, we've continued to do supplemental analysis, and what we did was we looked at ethnic identity and diabetes stratified by education. And we also, when we were looking at the four items of ethnic identification, we decided not to include the it's important to marry within group because it wasn't hanging well with the other three. So we decided to choose the three that were more highly correlated. And we rescaled that. And education, we categorized into four categories. We looked at 0 to 11 years, 12 years, 13 to 15 years, and 16 years or more. And when we did this, we actually show evidence of both a buffering and exacerbating hypothesis. So what we see, if you'll see the odds ratios in the red square, Latinos and Hispanics who have 13 to 15 years of education, the higher they had ethnic identity, the higher their risk or the odds of having diabetes. However, when you look at Latinos or Hispanics with 16 years or more, the higher their level of ethnic identity, the lower their odds of diabetes. So we see a combination of a buffering and exacerbating hypothesis. Okay, so in conclusion, consistent with the buffering hypothesis, adult Latinos with higher levels of ethnic identification are less likely to have diabetes. But after accounting for ethnic identification and sociodemographic variables, the protective effect of ethnic identification declines for Latinos with 13 to 15 years of education. The strengths and limitations of the study. One of the strengths of the study, I think, is that ethnic identity hasn't been applied in physical health outcomes. You see a substantial amount of literature of ethnic identity looking at the relationship between that and depression, especially with adolescents. And you don't see a lot of studies looking at ethnic identity in adults, and particularly with physical health outcomes. And we're seeing consistent findings with ethnic identity and the risk of it being a protective factor of diabetes. Also, the strength is that the data come from a national representative population-based sample of Latinos, which increases the generalizability of our findings. Limitations is as it is a cross-sectional study, so we can't claim causality. And diabetes was self-reported, so we may have an underestimation of that. Implications: research investigating the association between ethnic identity and diabetes could provide more insight into developing culturally sensitive diabetes interventions that minimize the potential risk of acculturation, so looking more at sort of internalized psychological components. Okay. And that's it. Thank you. It's one of the reasons I actually became interested in ethnic identity, because I think it's definitely much more complex. And if you'll notice here, I have a bar graph where we look at percent diabetes by formal education stratified by nativity. And you'll see that U.S. born in the 0 to 11 years, 12 years education, and 16 years or more, have higher prevalence of diabetes, but you look at that 13 to 15 years, and it follows the odds ratios and the logistic regression results that we have, and it follows the exacerbating hypothesis. And based on sort of my research on acculturation, and you know, I come from the U.S.-Mexico border, so I look at acculturation differently and contextually, in sort of the how you switch back and forth and how you have to, and I am postulating, and this is what I want to look into a little more, that 13 to 15 years you have foreign-born are integrating more into the U.S. dominant culture, so they're having to face their identity. And so whatever that integration process involves, if you look at the literature and psychology with the exacerbating hypothesis, they're saying that it exacerbates discrimination. So the higher education you have, you're probably more aware of discrimination and racial factors. So I'm speculating that that group is more integrated. And so they're having to, if you think of it from the psychological mental health component, they're gonna have higher rates of depression and depressive symptoms. So, and this goes beyond, we know that there's a strong association between psychological distress and type 2 diabetes, and that's another set of my research where I look at stress and diabetes.
So looking at your 16 years or more is the opposite, and I'm wondering, usually, from what I have seen, the 16 years or more education are usually coming from South America, and they have much higher social capital.
Yeah.
More access to
more resources.
Exactly. So maybe that defines that component and the other group. So it would be interesting to look at it from country of origin.
Yeah.
Area of origin.
Yeah, and I'm really interested in this finding because of that dynamic. You're right. Latinos or Hispanics who have 16 years typically come from more privileged backgrounds in different countries, and so they have more capital. So there's something about the 13 to 15 years. I'm interested in even breaking that down a little more and seeing the distribution of the Latino subpopulations and seeing what's happening there. But yeah, I think it's a really interesting finding.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So you were conceptualizing the connectivity issue at socio-demographic covariate instead of incorporating it into the identity.
We did. We included it. We did analysis with it, and we weren't seeing findings that were matching or it wasn't showing anything. So we kept it we adjusted it because we did stratify by U.S. and foreign-born. So we're trying to figure out exactly, because a huge proportion of NLS is foreign-born. So the distribution is not normally distributed. So I want to look at another study to see if we can have more of a normally distribution of Latinos who are U.S. foreign-born.
Okay. believe we had another question. Yes.
Yeah.